so often in the Bible, you come across a passage of scripture that just captures the message of the gospel, of living the Christian life in a perfect way. Micah 6:8, I think, is a good example of that. You remember, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. That's one passage. Matthew 22:37, I think, is another one. You know, the people asked Jesus, what is the what's the most important commandment? And Jesus says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those passages capture, I think, beautifully what it means to live as a Christian. The passage of scripture that we're going to look at this morning, I think, is another one that really works out the implications of what it means to love the Lord and love your neighbor. And given that this is, in a sense, the season finale of Keeping Up with the Corinthians, season 2, I think it's a fitting place for us to end our time together. Because Paul closes his letter by breaking down 5 priorities for living as believers. And I think that we can learn a lot about what it means to be the church together by looking at this passage. So you want to know what it looks like to live a good Christian life? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:11 and we'll get the answer. Let me read it to you from the newest New International Version. This is the 2017 version of the New International Version. 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." There's 5 priorities for Christian life. Now, right off the bat, if you're using a different translation or even the older New International Version, you're going to notice that something might be a little bit weird, because back in 1984, they translated rejoice goodbye, as opposed to rejoice. And it's grammatically possible that that is what Paul meant, but I think that the newest New International Version has got it right. Because essentially, what Paul has written in this verse is 5 words, each of them a command. Be joyful, be restored, be encouraged, be at peace, be of one mind, and be at peace. I think this is a bit like the list that we get from Ben's teacher every morning. Here are the things that you need to do today for school. And Paul, I think, is closing his letter in the very same way. Here are the things that you need to do to live a Christian life. And so I think that this is what we have, a list of 5 priorities for us as believers. So the first priority that Paul gives us is to rejoice. Paul says, let your heart overflow with the confident contentment that comes from knowing that God is in control and that God is working for your benefit. That, I think, is really important for us to hear in the midst of this pandemic. It can be really easy for us to get discouraged and fatigued, but Paul says, even in the worst of times, rejoice. Draw strength and even joy from the knowledge that this momentary light affliction is going to give way to the eternal weight of glory. And notice that joy in Paul's mind is not necessarily the absence of trouble. Joy isn't necessarily even happiness. Joy is the confident assurance that even in the midst of troubles, God is working for good. When we rejoice, we are drawing courage and strength from the knowledge that God is for us. Sometimes it means that we can lift our hands and wave them back and forth in joy and delight. Other times it means that we can lift our hands in praise and say, God, even though this is hard, we know that you are good. So that's priority number 1 for us, rejoice. Priority number 2, strive for full restoration. Now, again, if you are using the old NIV, they said aim for perfection. That's a possible grammatical translation, but again, I think that the newer version is better because the word here, the language here is of mending nets, right? Picture James and John in their boats mending the holes in their nets. It's this word, it's that word that Paul uses. Paul says, mend up the broken parts of your life in light of the gospel. Go through, take account of your relationships, the various aspects of your life, and say, are there places that are inconsistent with the gospel of God? Well, mend them. Make things right in light of what God has done. Are there people with whom you are estranged? Are there people that you are not treating in a way that's consistent with the gospel? If that's the case, mend that net. Aim for restoration. So rejoice, aim for restoration. Three, encourage one another or comfort one another is equally possible. Again, the old NIV, listen to my appeal, is grammatically possible, but I think it's much more likely that Paul is saying here, encourage one another, right? Take the comfort that you have received from God and extend that very same comfort to others. Frankly, that is the message that you hear again and again in 2 Corinthians. And so I think Paul is driving the point home here and saying in the practically the last paragraph of his letter, listen to what I've been saying all along and comfort one another. If people are struggling, build them up. If people are mourning, sit with them. You know, don't use the power and influence you have to tear people down, but instead encourage them. That's priority three, encourage one another. Four, be of one mind. And here the old NIV nails it because this is exactly what Paul is saying. Be of one mind. That is putting aside selfish ambition and getting ahead, getting what you want. Agree with other believers that God's will is the will that we will pursue together. Right? Being of one mind means being united behind the common goal of seeing God's will done. That doesn't mean that we all think alike, but it does mean that we agree together to make God's priorities our mutual priority. So priority four, be of one mind. And finally, priority five, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, and live in peace. And again, that's exactly what it sounds like, right? Insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with one another. Don't hold grudges. Don't scheme to get your own way above somebody else's, having the same mind as Christ Jesus. Unite behind the gospel. Be at peace with one another. Five priorities for Christian living. Rejoice. Strive for restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live at peace. And when we do that, Paul says, the God of love and peace will be with us. And that's a great blessing too. When we do these things, when we seek these five priorities together as a church, the God of love and peace will be with us. And frankly, I think it's a bit of a chicken and an egg situation here. The implication is not that if we don't do these things, God is not with us. The implication is that when we choose to follow Jesus, the God of love and peace is with us, giving us love and peace, which enables us to rejoice and aim for restoration and live at peace with one another. And when we do that, the God of love and peace is with us to give us more of that love and peace, to enable us to live Christian lives with one another. And the cycle continues. So here's my word to you, the closing word from Paul. In light of the gospel, be joyful, be restored, be encouraged, be of one mind, be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Are there any areas there where you need to work on those priorities? Any one or two in particular where you realize, oh, wow, I could do better on this priority or that? That's a good question, but it's also a good question for us to think about as a church. How are we doing in this as a church? Because Paul is speaking to the we, not just to the me. Are we as a church characterized by joy? That confident assurance that God knows what he's doing? Or are we living with this sort of spiritual pessimism that sees church just as a human institution? Do we aim for restoration with God and with others that we don't agree with? Or are we are we willing to tolerate holes in our nets? Do we comfort and encourage one another? Do we share and act out of a common commitment to the kingdom? Do we make it a priority to live at peace with one another? You know, as your pastor, I'm delighted to say that I think we're doing pretty well here. You know, the fact that we pulled together a meal for Blessing Center in a couple of hours, the fact that you continue to send checks in to support our ministry, the fact that nobody has questioned our decision to continue to send out money to our missions, even though we're a little tight on finances right now, all of that suggests to me that we are united together behind a common commitment to the gospel. I think that we all hold this common understanding that Langford exists not for human purposes, but for God's purposes, where we serve one another sacrificially and we serve our community that way. You know, I know that you comfort and encourage one another. I know that you work to work out disagreements with one another. And I think that as you do that, as we do that, we experience more and more of God's love and peace. So I want to say to you, keep it up. And let these five priorities continue to guide your life. Let's pray together. Lord, you are the God of love and of peace. That means you are, in your very essence, compassion and mercy and unity and harmony. And Lord, as your people, we want to reflect that. We want those things to characterize us. Lord, we want your priorities to be our priorities. I pray that you would help us as a church to be joyful, to be at peace with one another, to encourage one another. And we pray that you would help us to be united behind the gospel, not swerving from it in any way. God, I'm grateful for these people who are willing to look at their lives, to ask themselves, am I taking the gospel seriously? And then willing to take steps to apply the gospel to all parts of their lives. Lord, I pray that more and more our lives would be characterized by joy and forgiveness and grace. And we pray that as we exercise those characteristics, that people around us would see it, that they would understand that there is something different about us as individuals and as your church. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet in the world. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have worked in us to be a blessing. And God, I pray that you would bless Fred and Sarah. God, as Fred goes back to work as a cook and as a chef at his restaurant, we pray that the time that he spent serving Blessing Center on our behalf would stick with him, and that your love for people would continue to work in his heart. Lord, I pray that you would bless each of the people at Langford who have volunteered to prepare food, to give fruit and vegetables to Blessing Center. God, I pray that as we do this, your being in us would just thrive. that we would be animated by your Spirit, that we would be compelled by your love, that we would be renewed by your work in us. God, I'm grateful for Langford. I'm grateful for every person here. I pray that you would continue to refine us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for us, for living, loving us and laying down your life for us. And I pray that you would bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen.